On page 835 of your Pew Bibles, you'll find Psalm 5. 835, Psalm 5, to the chief musician with flutes, a psalm of David. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and the deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In the fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. Let all those who rejoice put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him as with a shield. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I don't know that we often talk about conversion in terms of the Old Testament, but we know that David was called by Almighty God the man after my own heart. And how is that even possible unless the Lord God changed that heart? I know the operation of the Holy Spirit seemed to be different, and the Holy Spirit worked differently in the Old Testament, and still God took this man David and recreated him. He changed him. He began to mold him and make him after the image of God. There's no other way that David, in that morning, when he looked at the day ahead of him, and he saw that he might die, he might be destroyed, that the enemy was all around him, or perhaps even worse, he might just get sucked along the path and go along with them, that he looks up to them, and he lifts up his head, and he cries out, O Lord God, consider my meditation. That word meditation is the same word we saw together for the first time in Psalm 1, where it says that the delight of the righteous man is that he meditates day and night. We talked about musing, of thinking about it, of sighing in the great things of truth. And in this case, it means the same thing that we read in Romans 8, where the Spirit intercedes for us when the words just don't come. There's a time in our life when we're so pressed down that life is so difficult that we actually don't even know what to say anymore. I think some of you know that if you've been praying for an addict and you pray again and again and again and then again and again and again, they pick up the bottle or they pick up the joint or they pick up whatever it is. You're going, Lord, I don't know what to pray anymore. Where you're caught in a relationship and that relationship is broken and you don't know where to go anymore. And Lord God, I've asked you, I've tried to intelligibly tell you, and I just, Lord, I don't know what to say anymore. But in hope and in faith, we still direct our attention to God. That's the power of conversion. That's the power of faith, that though we go through the deepest, darkest times of life, that we might feel pressure and persecution, that we might feel the protection of Almighty God, and we still look up to him. And though we might feel utterly and horribly forsaken, even if we're wrestling with that, Lord God, I don't understand what's going on here. Why did that happen? Why did my daughter die? Why did my son die? Why has my father got cancer? Why am I constantly being ridiculed or provoked in my work? Why is the Church of Jesus Christ suffering so in Nigeria, Eritrea, Indonesia, China, and we can go on. Why, O Lord? How long, O Lord? But we lift up our eyes to him, my King and my God. What a thing, hey, when David, who is the king, says to God, you are my king, and you are my God. And there's all different levels, I guess we could talk about that, but maybe it's appropriate today, fathers. How do we approach God on behalf of our family? How do we come in worshipful attitude in terms of the authority that we have been given by Almighty God to raise His children in the fear of the Lord? And we have to say, Lord, my God, my King, my Father who art in heaven, I submit to you. I submit to you in terms of what's happening with my children. I submit to you what's happening in my life. I will accept it because it's from your almighty hand. But Lord God, that's not easy for us. And as men, we want control. And as men, we want to fix it. And as men, we want to make it right. And God says, you can't. You can't even do it for yourself. And then all of us with the fathers in this place cry out, my God and my King. That we change. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit, we say, I don't want to be God anymore. I don't want to know the whole things of knowing evil. I don't want to know the things of death anymore. Lord, I want to know you and your righteousness and your holiness. And so in the first thing in the morning, we with David bring our prayers to Almighty God. The sense of verse 3 is like the priest making ready the sacrifices for Almighty God. You have to have the animal, you have to have the grain, you have to have the fire, but you have to have the attitude. You've got to come like Abel this morning. You've got to come with Abel with that heart that says, here it is, Lord, I give it to you. And not like Cain, I've done this, Lord, because I want to get from you. And like we saw last time and now we're going to see again. So we've moved right from Psalm 3, the prayer of the morning, and then we went to Psalm 4, the prayer of the evening, where we lie down and we sleep and we rest. And now we're back in the morning again, and the trouble's still there, but so is God. And he's still holy, and he's still right. And that the prayer that God would help us is much more important now than that God would simply take all the problems away. The problems, the tests, the trials, the persecution are there by his hand for your good and for mine. That all things are really working together for the good of those who love us. And God has put us into positions of sadness and sorrow in our life that we would purely and truthfully and honestly just cry out to him, oh Lord, my God and King, please attend now to my cry. And I think we need to understand that. And we talk about worship, and then they always talk about praise and worship and shouting out your hallelujahs. Yes, there has to be that. But is there room in the Church of Jesus Christ, in this church, beloved? Because there's people here who are crying. Because Father's Day is a reminder for someone who's not here. There are people here who are suffering with things you don't even know about and I don't know about. Is there a place on a Sunday morning for someone who's just tired and just needs a good cry? And that it's okay for them to cry because this is what this is. And then when you couple with that, we have this prayer and we just sang it of imprecation. Oh Lord, bring an end to all of those forces that stand opposed to you because you hate wickedness and you hate the wicked. This morning we direct our prayer and our worship to you. Are you down? Are you burdened and heavy laden? Now please look up. Look up with David that the converted of the Lord pray for his leadership in light of God's holiness, for God's merciful leadership, and for God's in light of God's holiness, verses 4 through 6, for God's merciful leadership in verses 7 through 10, and then for God's blessing in 11 and 12. So we've taken verses 1 through 3, that's our setting. David wakes up in some morning. John Calvin thinks he probably wrote this after the time of trouble, and then God got him through the time of trouble. It doesn't really matter when he wrote it. I think many of you understand that David wrote these words that became the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ surrounded by his enemies from within the covenant community, no less. And if Psalms 3, 4, and 5 are all connected by David's fleeing from Absalom, then Psalm 3, 4, and 5 are also the words of Jesus Christ being pursued by the devil, by the demons, by the Pharisees, by the Sadducees, and then by the whole nation of Israel, coupled with the Herod and Pilate together. Oh Lord God, why am I suffering? Take heed to my cry. But then always with David, and then especially with Christ, in our converted state, in the change that has happened in our mind, we begin to think about God more and more. And we look at God and we think, but God, you are holy. In Leviticus 19, God says to Israel, for I am God and I am holy. And then we think of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. And then we pick it up again in Revelation 4, verse 8, where we see the angels in heaven and we see those six seraphim around the throne of God saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So the converted person, all of you who know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all of you who pray by the Spirit and in the Spirit, please, it's time to let God be God. Don't reinvent God. Reimagine God. Don't create him after what you want him to be, nor ask him to do what you want him to do outside of his will and his integrity. And then look to him. And when you look at this wicked world around you, with David, you can say, for you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and the deceitful man. Didn't God say that through the psalmist in Psalm 2? Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The Lord who sits in heaven shall laugh. He shall hold them in derision. And he shall distress them in his deep displeasure. Beloved, do you believe that God is angry with the evil that we see in our society? That God is angry about abortion and that he wants it to end? That he is tired of the rethinking and the redefining of what is marriage and what is proper love and what a society should look like, of what education should really be, and how we should lead young people in the fear of the Lord, and how angry he is when we have a whole society that doesn't. And if you wonder about that in terms of society, don't forget that in terms of yourself. For the Lord God takes no pleasure in your wickedness, nor will evil dwell with you. And we must not be boastful. And we read in Romans 1, verse 18, as Paul writes about all of that iniquity of the Roman society, and we know that applies to Canadian society, how everything's just a mess and chaos and outright immoral. It's not only those who practice them who will die, but those who approve of them who do these things. And that's really the Canadian society. I heard it again yesterday morning. We are people who love rules. We are people who stand for the right. We are people who can tolerate everything. And that's exactly what we should not be doing as Christians. And this week, one of the great denominations can't really understand exactly what they're supposed to do when the social fabric breaks down. And what are we supposed to do with those people who are caught in sins that Almighty God says are worthy of death? Well, we should love them and tolerate them, and there has to be a place for them, and it's all okay, and we have to say, no, God hates it. Because if we don't believe that God is hating it, there's no reason to do missions. And if we only believe that he hates the sin and not the sinner, it says there he hates the workers of iniquity. There's no place for them. Then we have no heart for our neighbors who are perishing. For the children of the congregation, or, and I mean by that all of us who are members, who are wandering, that God hates it. And if he hates it, we should hate it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, holy be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Do you see Psalm 5 is just the same prayer that Jesus taught us to pray? Put an end to all those who stand opposed to you, Lord God. We hate it that that so few in our society recognize your glory and recognize your honor. We're saddened by the brokenness we see on a television show or on a movie or in the music that we hear from our society. Lord, we can't just become callous to this anymore. Open our hearts, make us tender and loving towards you, and to the community that we live in. Let us lift up our eyes to you, because you will not put up with this. And you don't believe it? Look what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. Look what happened to Greece and Rome. Look what happened to Nazi Germany and Stalinist Russia. And look at the decay and the breaking down of our own society. That's the wrath of God, beloved. So yeah, you feel down and you feel sorrowful and you may feel persecuted. You may feel very anxious about living in this world. The economy seems to be a mess. The legal system seems to be a mess. What's going on? The Lord God is in control. And he will not abide with this forever. He's not with them. He's with you. And that's the point of this prayer. The Lord God is with you, righteous, with you who will hold fast, with you who will be steadfast. The Lord our God is with us. The Lord will take care of us. See the mercy of God in verse 7. But as for me, I will come into your house. I will come into the multitude of your mercy. In the fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. Because of my enemies, make your way straight before my face. Powerful language. Who is your God? You know, Romans chapter 3 actually quotes a lot of Psalm 5. And then it quotes and applies Psalm 5 to the Jew and to the Gentile and to us. We once were bloodthirsty men, but then the Lord converted us. We were deceitful men and women, and then the Lord converted us. We were wicked, doing whatever we wanted to do. We hated God, and we hated the people of God. And then he came into our life. He burst into our reality. He changed me, and I cry out, O Lord God, forgive me. And he does. If his holiness is great, and his righteousness is great, his mercy is just as great. His wonderful love for us is amazing. And then you see, you pull it all together. Is God angry with sin? Does God hate it? Yes, look what he did to our son, his son, our Lord and Savior. Look what he did to Jesus Christ, who's crying out there, Lord, my God, hate the wicked, but I am the one being forsaken. Our sin is hanging on him. It's crushing him. And he will die so that the writer to the Hebrews can say, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way provided through us, that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean, that picture of baptism, and an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. How does David dare come into the presence of God? He was a murderer. He killed Uriah the Hittite. He was a deceiver. He didn't want anybody to know. But he believes in the righteousness and the mercy of God. Oh, Lord, my God, I believe you. Forgive me. I know I have no right, my God and my King, to stand in your presence. I know I'm a dirty, filthy, rotten sinner. But I believe in your mercy. I believe the promises you made to me when we were baptized. I believe, Heavenly Father, that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. Then come, beloved, and look up, beloved. And understand that the greatest burden you ever had, you haven't borne it anymore. Jesus is taken away. Jesus stands in between us and Almighty God, and he sees God the Father, Jesus' righteousness, and says, I remember your sins no more. So David turns and he looks to the tabernacle where the Ark of the Covenant is, and he says, there I'll direct my prayers. I will turn my heart to the temple. And we think of Solomon, when he dedicated that temple. And Lord, when we fall into sin and we're in exile, please hear the prayers of your people when we face towards the temple. And then we think of Daniel in Babylon crying out to Almighty God there in his room all alone, facing the temple with the windows open to the temple in Jerusalem. The Lord is good. The Lord will hear you. You may come to him with your sorrow and your lament, and your desire that all the wickedness and brokenness of this world, either you've personally experienced it, our brothers and sisters around the world are experiencing, come quickly, Lord Jesus, please come. But bring your cares and petitions to the Lord, and let it be well with your soul when sorrows like sea billows roll. My bliss or my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. In the morning, I lifted my eyes to you, God, my King, and it is well. It is well with my soul. For there is no faithfulness in the wicked. Their inward part is destruction. This is where Romans 3, verse 15 picks it up. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsel. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. And that's what's important here. When the wicked sin, it's easy to take it personally. Oh, they're making my life miserable. That's not the problem, beloved. That's why in Romans chapter 12, it says, have mercy and love your enemy and call them out of the darkness into the light, for God is a jealous God. And God will have wrath on whom he will have wrath. And God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, but you will heap burning coals on their head. If your enemy's hungry, give him something to eat. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. And if he's naked, give him something to wear. Love him. But you say, I'm supposed to hate him. You hate who he is without God. You remember what you were. Conversion is, I hate the old man, and I love the new man. And I want my neighbor to hate the old man and to put on the new man. Because I know where they're headed. I know where they're going, and I don't want that because God is not pleased with them. And then the Lord says, teach them all that I have commanded you. And baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I'm with you. And I'm not with them. And though it may seem like they're in power and they have control, I am a holy God. And it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And never forget Romans chapter 5. While we were enemies of the cross, while we were enemies of God, God sent his Son to die for us. Why? So that you could be saved. Then the Holy Spirit was sent into us, that we would cry out, right? Romans 8, Abba, Father. And then he says, I hear you, my daughter. I hear you, my son. And I am with you even to the close of the age. The converted of the Lord pray for his leadership in light of God's holiness and for his merciful leadership. And then those final words, and we sang them so beautifully together in that last verse. But let those who rejoice put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, Lord, will bless the righteous. And with favor, you will surround him as a shield. I think of those last chapters of Revelation, you know, and in Revelation 19, the church is singing, Babylon the harlot is dead, the kingdom of darkness has been destroyed, the smoke is going up for her, and then we go to the wedding feast of the Lamb, and then again our hallelujahs go forward, and blessed are all who are invited to that. You, beloved, who are the righteous, those of you who know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, give your life to him and see the glory and the marvel and the blessings that await you. Lead me, Father. Guide me, Heavenly Father. Show me your way with David the King. Read that Torah day after day. You, beloved in the Holy Spirit, read the Word of God every day and really read it and meditate on it and think about it and think about who he is and what God has done for you in Jesus Christ and the glory that waits for you. Look up in that morning of despair. Look up when the dark clouds are coming upon you. Look up to this Almighty God who hears you in your tears, who gives you the Spirit so that even the words don't properly come out. He says, I will bless you. In fact, I am blessing you. And in that moment of your prayer, understand that powerful and amazing blessing. And then sing. It is well. It is well with my soul. O Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight and the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. And the trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. That's the beauty of being a Christian. There's no religion like it. We have no other God, and there's no God like him. We have no other Savior, And the world has no Savior to offer you. Oh, they'll try and they'll cheat. I mean, it was amazing this week again to hear how Christians in leadership are changing what love is. Accept the sinner. Accept sin. It's all okay. This is what love is. And my God has room for all of those. And then look to the Word of God and say, no. When I look at Jesus Christ there on the cross, I know. I know my sin and I hate it. And we know God our Father and we love Him. And we adore Jesus Christ hanging there on the cross. And we see Him in His glory by faith. And we know in whom we have believed and we're persuaded that He is able to keep that which He has committed unto us against that day. For You, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, You will surround him as a shield. Do you believe, beloved? Can you live now in that hope and in that marvel? This world with devils filled is threatening to undo us. But a mighty fortress is our God. God is our refuge and our strength. He will break the bow. He will shatter the steel. For God is our fortress. And God is our help and our strength. And so, when in the morning unto thee I lift my voice and bring my plea, then let my prayer as incense rise by God enthroned above the skies. Are you having a tough time? Are you persecuted? Are you sorrowing for the church under duress? Then wake up tomorrow morning and look up. Lord, my God, my King, Sovereign One, You are in control of everything. I don't understand what You're doing, but I know it's good. Protect us. Watch over us. Convert us. Preserve us. And lead us into the things of glory. Surround us with Your love and shield us, that we may walk in the land of the living when Jesus Christ comes again. And be of good cheer, for God and His Son are with you even to the end of the age. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, give ear to our words and consider the meditations of our hearts. Give heed to the voice of our cries, O King, our God. We pray to You. We pray, Lord, that You will hear our voice in the morning. For in the morning we will direct our prayers to You as Abel and Noah brought their sacrifices to You so long ago. And in the sacrifice of Christ, we look up to the cross and then beyond into glory. For Father in heaven, we know that You are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, and the evil will not dwell with You. The boastful shall not stand in Your sight. You hate the workers of iniquity. You destroy those who speak falsehood. And Father, it scares us to the very core of our being that You abhor the bloodthirsty and deceitful men which we used to be. Help us, Father, convert us, change us, mold us and make us after Your will. For Father, we have come this morning into Your house, into the multitude of Your mercy, and we will worship You towards glory of heaven. Lead us, Father, in righteousness. Keep us safe from the enemy and make our way straight before Your face. And Father in heaven, protect us from the world. There's no faithfulness there. We see their destruction. We see the brokenness, the death, the ugliness, Lord, that is in the world around us. And Father, we know that Jesus Christ will come and You will pronounce them guilty. Give us a heart for them. But Father in heaven, we see the crumbling around us. Will we call them into the wonder of belonging to You? And so, Father, we pray that we might all leave here today rejoicing in You, even if we have tears in our eyes. Let us shout for joy because You defend us. Let us all leave here saying today, it is well with our souls. That we may love You and be joyful in You, that You will bless us, and with Your favor You will surround us as with a shield. In Jesus' name alone we pray. Amen.